You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network. You're listening to the Dolphins Talk Fan Series, introducing you to some of the Miami Dolphins' biggest fans. If you'd like to nominate a fan to appear on the show, shoot us an email at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com or send us a message on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. And now, here's today's episode of the Dolphins Talk Fan Series. Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans. How are you today? I'm Josh Katzker, co-host of the Same Old Dolphin Show from right here at DolphinsTalk.com, and I am thrilled to welcome you to another episode of the Dolphins Talk Fan Series. The Fan Series, of course, as you know by now, was started because the Dolphins have one of the widest and most diverse fan bases in the entire National Football League. They've got fans in all 50 states and in countries around the world. And it's because of that, because of how big that fan base is, that we decided to start this new podcast series to help all of our listeners and viewers get to know some of those fans better. Some of these fans are fans that you might know pretty well already, and some of them will be people that you are meeting for the very first time. Either way, we are very excited to introduce them to you here on the Dolphins Talk Fan Series. A lot of big stuff going on over at DolphinsTalk.com in light of free agency, Dolphins making a couple of trades to get set for the NFL draft. So lots going on over at DolphinsTalk.com. So make sure you're visiting the website every single day. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. A lot of great things coming up. We got a new episode of Dolphins Talk Weekly coming out all the time. We've got draft preview shows on the horizon. It is the place to be. So make sure you're visiting the website and also subscribing to DolphinsTalk.com daily so that you never miss an episode of our regular daily podcast, as well as each episode of the Dolphins Talk Fan Series. Also, if you haven't done so already, if you're listening to this as a podcast, thank you for listening. We are so glad to have you on board. But we would really love it if you could just take a few moments out of your day to head over to YouTube.com and go to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Just search it in, Dolphins Talk, all one word, and you will find the Dolphins Talk YouTube page. We want you to hit the subscribe button on that page. We are doing all kinds of new content for the YouTube page. We've got live episodes of podcasts coming out. We're also putting together highlight reels and things like that. We'd really appreciate it if you go over there and help us continue to grow that YouTube audience. It really does a lot to help us out. So we hope that you will go over there, smash the subscribe button on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And for those of you who are watching us on YouTube and have already subscribed, hey, thank you. We appreciate you. Now, we're going to get to our guest today in just a moment, but we have to talk about Manscaped. You know it. I know it. It's something that we've got to do. So, folks, let me tell you, it's spring. Spring has sprung. The flowers are blooming. The grass is growing. It's time to mow your lawn. You know what I'm talking about. Thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped, you can trim the hedges below the belt safely and efficiently. In case you haven't figured it out, I'm talking about ball trimmers. Manscaped is the global leader in men's below-the-waist grooming, and they've got an exclusive offer for listeners of the DolphinsTalk.com Fan Series. You can use the code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com and get 20% off of your order. You're also going to get free shipping. So whether you're getting the Lawnmower 3.0 or their Weed Whacker, which is their nose and ear hair trimmer, whether you're talking about their formulations like their ball deodorant, ball toner, folks, it's great stuff. And no matter how much or how little you buy, you're getting 20% off as long as you use the promo code DolphinsTalk at checkout. So make sure you do it at manscaped.com. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com. It's spring cleaning, baby. And of course, your balls will thank you. Our guest today is one of those fans that you may, in fact, already know, especially if you follow the Florida Panthers with any kind of the same attention that you follow the Miami Dolphins with. He is, in fact, a contributor here at DolphinsTalk.com, and he is also the host of Locked On Panthers. He's a South Florida guy who likes to keep things simple, even as he analyzes the world of professional sports. We're very excited to welcome him to this episode of the Dolphins Talk Fan Series. He is Armando Velez. Armando!
Josh, how are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for hopping on and doing an episode of the Fan Series with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Josh. Thank you for having me on. I'm glad to talk to you about all things Miami Dolphins.
Absolutely. We're definitely going to talk a little bit about the Miami Dolphins today, but we also want to get to know you a little bit. I mean, that's the whole thing. That's what this is all about, is taking Dolphin fans and introducing them to other Dolphin fans. And that's what we're here to do. So let's start off with just tell us a little bit about yourself. Armando, where are you from? What do you do?
I am from West Kendall, Florida, Miami-Dade County, born and raised in South Miami Heights, moved over to the West Kendall, lived there for 11 years, have a few stints in Orlando with 8 years there, middle school, high school, then moving back to Miami to go to college, and then eventually after coming back to Orlando. So I've had two different stints in Miami and two different stints in Orlando, but I'm currently in Orlando as we speak. And what I do is I just completed 8 years of working with the Golf Channel. And after those 8 years, I started finding new professions as like writing and podcasting about sports and writing about the Miami Dolphins for Dolphins Talk. And now writing for the Florida Panthers and now being the host of the Locked On Panthers podcast. So I stayed in media after my tenure with the Golf Channel.
That's fantastic. So you are a man about sports media, having worked with the Golf Channel and now obviously a contributor here at DolphinsTalk.com and as well as being the host of Locked On Panthers. What were you doing with the Golf Channel? What were you doing with those guys?
I interned there for 4 years as part of a Hispanic minority media scholarship out of high school.
Okay.
I worked as an intern there and they helped pay for my school while I was doing it was a work study. That's basically what it is, a work study, and got connections through NBC and different types of media outlets. And it led me to going back to the Golf Channel at the time.
Excellent. And now you've left the Golf Channel behind and now you're dedicating a lot more of your time and energy to obviously Locked On Panthers, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, in a little bit, but also writing for DolphinsTalk.com. And let's talk about Dolphins. So obviously you're born and raised in Miami. So you're a South Florida guy. So what is like the earliest moment where you can recall the Dolphins sort of entering your consciousness?
Before I get there, I grew up in a Puerto Rican family. They moved here from Puerto Rico. They don't care about football at all. My parents don't really watch it. They like baseball. That's their number one. That's
absolutely
most of my family. So I grew up mostly watching baseball, starting with the Marlins, starting in 2000 ish, going to Pro Player Stadium. And then in the third grade, I had a super diehard Miami Dolphins fan who was my teacher. And he had this thing where if the Dolphins would lose on a Sunday, he would wear all black, and that all the guys would have to tuck in their shirt and look professional. And like, it was like setting a tone. Black is like you're going to a funeral and he's going to be all mean and angry if the Dolphins lose. So first season of that was the 2002 season where Ricky Williams rushed for almost 2,000 yards that season. So, and then he was talking about that and it got me so intrigued. Or I wanted to mentally prepare for class as a third grader. So I decided to watch the games. So I know.
There you go.
So I could know the results. And then all of a sudden I became a fan. And
That's amazing. Who is, what was the name of your third grade teacher? We got to give him a shout out on the show.
His name is Orlando Martinez.
Mr. Martinez, wherever you are, thank you for inspiring Armando and making him into a Dolphins fan. So your earliest memories of the Dolphins are those Ricky Williams teams, those early 2000s, which was, well, as fun as it was to watch Ricky Williams, that was sort of the beginning of a pretty dark period for the Dolphins there, as far as like just not being terribly successful. But with Ricky Williams being that guy, was he your favorite Dolphin? Or do you have like somebody else that was like your favorite Dolphins player of all time?
He was my second favorite Dolphin. Number one is JT, Jason Taylor. Number 99, he always made a play. I remember the Thanksgiving game against the Dallas Cowboys, the road game, where I believe he had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. And I still have his jersey today. I kind of cycle through jerseys depending if player is important enough to keep, but there's very few worth keeping, and Jason Taylor is one of them that I will hold to my heart.
Yeah, there is a certain thing with buying football jerseys. You got to be really careful, you know, because, you know, you especially like when it comes to like guys that are on the team right now, because you buy, like, for example, I got the last jersey that I got for a player that was on the team at the time that was like a current player was I got a Jarvis Landry jersey. And then like a year and a half later, he was gone. And so it's like, what do I do with this jersey? Can't wear the Jarvis Landry jersey anymore. So maybe one day, way down the line, you can wear it again. But, you know, it's all about those legends or guys that you can always wear that jersey. So you can always rock the number 99.
Yes, I wore it to my trip to Dallas when I saw Dolphins at Cowboys in the 2019 season. Josh Rosen's first start as a Miami Dolphin.
Ah, yes. Well, I'm sorry you had to be there in person for that particular game.
Yes.
But that was not a particularly fun one.
No.
but what were, so do you remember what your, was there a specific, like, I know that you started watching around that time, those 2002, 2003 Miami Dolphins. Is there a specific memory that you recall being like the first thing that you remember thinking about the Dolphins?
One of them is actually a very bad memory. It's where the Dolphins were playing at home against the New Orleans Saints in 2006 or 2009. And the Dolphins were up 24-0. And Reggie Bush just goes in on the Dolphins. And it was a 4 o'clock game, I remember. And I remember just Reggie Bush, it scores a game winning touchdown against the Dolphins. And funny enough, he's traded there like a few years later. That's one of the more painful ones of the Dolphins. And of course, the Cleo Lemon to Greg Camarillo game in 2007. Oh, yes. In middle school, a lot of people made fun of me for liking the Dolphins. I was in seventh grade, but I still stuck through it. It was 1-15, but
let me tell you, I'm a little bit older than you are, but I remember that game. And where I live here in my little town here in central New York, right? You know, I'm born and raised in South Florida myself, but I moved to central New York for work. And, my buddy Tico, who appeared on an episode of the same old Dolphin show with me last year, he's a big Patriots fan. And he and I would routinely go to this tiny little hole in the wall dive bar that had the Sunday ticket. And, you know, that was a late game, a late Sunday afternoon game. And he and I were the only guys in the place. And it was just like, and we're there week in, week out. And I'm watching the Dolphins lose every week and it's awful. But when they won that game, and anybody who remembers that game, I mean, how could you not remember that game if you saw it, particularly that season? It was like we won the Super Bowl when we won.
Absolutely.
And it was a lot of fun. And let me tell you that this bartender that was working in this dive bar poured me this like shot of Polish, like, I don't even know what it was. This is some weird Polish liqueur that was like plasma. It was like pink. It was thick, I remember, is all I remember. But we were celebrating. We were having a heck of a time. Anyway, enough about me. This is your show, Mondo. So So those are some moments that you remember with the Dolphins. So how often? So you've been to quite a few Dolphins games. Have you traveled to a lot of different games, or is it really like you just happen to be going to that game in Dallas?
I have a plan. I always have a plan to go to one Dolphins road game a year, with the exception of this COVID year. 2018 was the MetLife takeover with Dolphins NYC in 2018. Uh-huh. 2019 was Dallas on the road in Dallas. And I also went to Bears Dolphins in 2018. I've been to at least one home game since 2013. Went to Tannehill's first start, went to Tua's first start. And next year I'm planning to go to New Orleans to see them play against the Saints, because it's an NFC team. You only see them once every 8 years. So I was supposed to go to Vegas this year, but COVID.
Yeah, I you know, it's a tough time to be traveling around, that's for sure. And especially, you know, with some of these stadiums, a lot of stadiums, Vegas included, didn't even have anybody in the stands. So what were you going to do? Hopefully next year it'll be a little bit different environment by the time the season gets started. And New Orleans is a lot of fun, and hopefully it'll be back to its normal self by the time that rolls around for you, because it sounds like a really fun road trip. You'll have to do a video blog or something for us at the website so that we can follow all of your exploits. Maybe not all of them, but follow your exploits as you go around New Orleans. Well, that's fantastic. So let's talk about we'll talk about the how you're feeling about the Dolphins right now in just a minute. But first, we got to ask you. We ask everybody, who is your most hated opponent of the Miami Dolphins? He's thinking about it.
If I think about it like this, if the New York Jets had the same success as the New England Patriots for 20 years, I think I'd be more upset. I think about it like that.
Okay.
I think the rivalry with the Jets is so much stronger that even when we're both bad, it's just the games are very rowdy. I've been to East Rutherford, New Jersey. I've been to New York City over 10 times. My girlfriend's dad is a Jets fan too, and the rest of her family is Bills fans. So I'm in a Bills/Jets family on the other side, and they actually live in upstate New York in a little town called Camden, New York, like an hour and a half north of Syracuse. Every time I go there, it's Bills country, Giants, Jets, all of that I see. And I'm the lone Dolphin fan every time I visit there. So,
oh man.
But if there's one team that had the success the Patriots had for that long of a span, I'd probably be more upset about if it were a Jets dynasty than it would be a Patriots.
That's a good answer. I'll accept it. Hey, listen, next time you're up in Camden, you'll have to give me a shout, because I don't live too far from there. So we can get you, you know, send in some reinforcements as far as the Dolphins fans are concerned.
Absolutely.
So talk to me a little bit about how you're feeling about where the Dolphins are headed right now. 2020 is in the books. Obviously, just made some big trades to move around in the draft and acquire a little bit of capital. And so Dolphins are sitting pretty, drafting sixth in the draft. And, you know, I how are you feeling about what the team is up to right now?
I'm ecstatic. Like, words can't describe how great this feeling is. At first, within the first 2 hours of Laremy Tunsil getting traded, when I heard the news, I literally screamed no a lot of times. I saw two first round picks, but at the time being emotional about it, not wanting to acknowledge that this was going to be a rebuild, that it was going to be another teardown, and having a little bit more patience. But then after letting it sink in for 24 hours and thinking, wow, we got two first round picks. If we root for this team to lose, then it's going to help our pick. But also, funny enough, I was at the Miami Dolphins draft party at Nova Southeastern in 2016 when they picked Laremy Tunsil, when that whole incident happened. So that incident for Laremy Tunsil getting hacked helped the Dolphins get four first-round picks. And the Dolphins traded back that year, too, with the Philadelphia Eagles for Kiko Alonso, Byron Maxwell, and they got to buy time. If they stayed at 8 in 2016, would they have had enough time to buy to make the phone calls and say, we want to take this player? That's a franchise-changing event, something like that.
It really is. It's amazing how much like sort of Dolphins history was made just by all of those little dominoes falling on that night. It's really incredible. And so it set them up and they're in a really good spot now. As I think they're in a good spot. You're obviously feeling good about it. Obviously, we still got to see how the picks come together, but I'm feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good at yes. this point in time. So
I couldn't be happier.
That's good. That's a good thing to hear. Well, we're getting to the end here. So this is where we go a little bit off the rails and we start talking about the off subject stuff. So first of all, we got to talk about your gig with Locked On Panthers and what you're doing for them. So how did you get in? Have you always been a Panthers fan? Obviously, it was third grade. You were introduced to the Dolphins. Panthers didn't come in. Well, Panthers probably were around by that point. But how did you get introduced to the Panthers? And when did you get into them to the point that you're ready to do, you know, almost daily podcasts about them?
Well, I started by becoming a lacrosse player in high school. So I...
Okay.
And I had friends on the lacrosse team who also were fans of hockey too, because the games are very, very similar.
Uh-huh.
So, and also I'm a lacrosse and basketball referee in the state of Florida. So I, after retiring from lacrosse, I now referee it and get an income out of it. And, but going back to my playing days, I had friends who introduced me to hockey and I said, well, I got to go with the hometown team, even though I still lived in Orlando at the time. And I said, I'll be a Panthers fan. That's my region. And I wanted to stay loyal to the region. And it was after the most recent lockout of 11-12. And I said, okay, I'll start rooting for this team, looking into them. And they won the division that year. But they got bounced in the first round by the New Jersey Devils in 7 games, and they still haven't won a playoff series since their cup run in 1996. So they're searching. And how I got into it was I started writing for sports, started with Dolphins Talk. I started doing my own individual analysis of each of the teams that I follow. The Panthers had an opening. I spoke to a manager and sent them a sample and they liked it.
And that is a manager with Locked On.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you got in and the rest is, as they say, is history.
Yep. Yes, sir.
So tell the people where they can find you as far as like if they want to listen to episodes of Locked On Panthers, what's the best way to go about doing that?
They can listen to the show anywhere you listen to podcasts, Locked On Panthers. And of course, they can follow me on Twitter at MondoMan12, and they could also follow my show account where I will live tweet during games at @LO_FLA Panthers.
All right. That's excellent. So now let's talk about when you're not watching the Dolphins, watching the Panthers, watching your, you know, doing podcasts, writing columns. What are you doing? What are you doing in your free time? What are the things that you like to do when you're not working?
I like to go on adventures in nature. I like the outdoors. I grew up okay. as a city boy. I grew up as a city boy and my girlfriend's a country girl, and she always helped me like escape outdoors and go on like these little adventures, either going to the forest and going exploring, kayaking, and I like to exercise a lot. And refereeing is sure. one of them. And yeah, I'm a very outdoorsy person. I've turned into one over the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, it's, hey man, Florida's a great place to be if you love the outdoors and you know, your girlfriend's family is upstate New York, which in the warmer months is a really great place to do some outdoor recreation as well. So that's a lot of fun. That's great. What about a recommendation? We always ask everybody on the show to recommend something to our viewers and our listeners. So whether it's a piece of music, whether it's a movie, a TV show, a non-Dolphins related podcast, what would your one recommendation be to the listeners and the viewers so that they can go out there and consume something new?
Without rambling on too long, I consider myself a minimalist. I lived a minimalist lifestyle, very simple living outside of like what I do, about living within your means, being content with where you are in life and just not focusing on too much of the external factors in life and looking more of the internals. And there's these two podcasters that I listen to called The Minimalist. They're very inspiring people, helping people how to be debt-free, how to live content within your means, how to be open-minded and learn how to listen, explore, turn off the phones, turn off the screens, and just unplug as well. So that's definitely lessons that I've learned from them that are honestly life-changing, and it has helped with my sense of contentment in my life.
That's excellent. The Minimalists is the name of that podcast.
Yes,
that is,
sir,
the official recommendation of Armando Velez here on the Dolphins Talk fan series. And I think that's a really important thing to practice some mindfulness in some way. It's an important way to, especially in today's world where there's so much noise everywhere. But don't turn off the podcast. We want you to keep listening to this podcast. It's very important.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, I think that just about wraps us up for this episode, Armando. Thanks for telling everybody a little bit about yourself. Again, one more time, why don't you tell the people again one more time where they can find you, where they can find your work, what you're working on next for Dolphins Talk, all that stuff.
Once again, Twitter handle is MondoMan12. You could also follow my link tree where I have all my works all in one link, the linktree.com/MondoMan12, and where you can find my Dolphins Talk articles, my Locked On Panthers podcasts on their platforms, my Panther Parkway articles. And next, what I'm going to do for DolphinsTalk.com is talk about that sixth pick in the 2021 draft.
Love it. Love it. There's a lot of intrigue surrounding that draft pick. And we're going to be talking about that. Armando's going to write about it. We're going to be talking about it here at DolphinsTalk.com. Lots of new podcasts and columns coming up. So as always, make sure you are visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day, because it is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. It's the place to be. We got draft preview shows. Dante Colonnelli's coming back. Kevin Dern is still churning out content. This is the place to be, folks. Dolphins Talk. Make sure you hit it up every day. And we'll be back with some more episodes of the Dolphins Talk fan series as well. So Armando, thank you again for coming on. We appreciate you spending some time with us, and everybody else, take care. Take care of yourselves and each other, and we will talk to you again next time. Bye-bye, everybody. Go Dolphins!